Good morning, and welcome to the Nettier's full year 2012 results conference call. Hosting today's call will be Mr. Miroslav Godlewski, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. John Eastick, Chief Financial Officer. Following management's formal comments, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. Mr. Godlewski, you may now begin.
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today we are proud to present our historically best annual results. Nettier never had stronger EBITDA nor free cash flow position. Myself, Miroslav Godlewski, Nettier CFO, and Jonathan Eastick, Nettier CFO, will walk you through the presentation posted on our website just last night. As always, we encourage you to have that presentation in front of you, so we will be referring to its page numbers. So I hope you have no problems of getting a hold of this. So let's start with page two, and let's take a look at the reconciliation of our 2012 guidance. Not everything went as we wished, as a number of services, for instance, came at 2,686,000, which is worse than what we originally planned, but better than the latest forecast. On the right-hand side of that page, you also see our 2013 guidance, and you see that we are expecting to be almost flat in terms of RGUs in 2013, and we will explain you the reasons behind such a plan, as there are major transformational shifts being worked on in Nettier business right now. Our total revenue came at 2,121,000,000 zlotys, which is more than 30% up compared to 2011. And going forward, we are guiding for 1,925,000,000, which is mostly driven down by MTRs, but also the 2012 RGUs decrease. Adjusted EBITDA came at 591 million, slightly below guidance. And going forward, we keep the healthy 27.3% EBITDA margin, which with lower revenue leads to 525 EBITDA guided for 2013. Capital investment came at 257 million, which is lower than we initially guided for. And next year we expect below 12% capital investment. So again, well under control while satisfying all our needs. So we did have a record high adjusted free cash flow, which came at 334 million, really double of 2011. So it's something to be really proud of. And that should continue to be strong. Next year we are forecasting for 300 million zlotys free cash flow, which is 15%, more than 15% of revenue, 15% free cash flow margin. Let's flip to page three, which provides summary of what we will talk about, but I would like to draw your attention right away to a third bullet point, as the other summary points will be developed in more detail, which is the fact that the synergy extraction from Dialog and Crowley were main drivers of profitability improvement, while gross margin or regulated access services, which has been under pressure, offset that partially. And that led also directly to impairment charges of 79 million zlotys recorded in the fourth quarter of 2012. As we will be showing you, really driven by refocusing away from growth over regulated access in the residential segment and reduced voice ARPU expectations, which is not new expectation. So I hope we will be able to clearly explain this offsetting dynamics happening in Nettier business. Two major ones. One, we do get those synergies, but it's offset by some of the declining residential business dynamics, especially voice. But also the other one, as you will see, the shift between the segments, residential and business segments. Our net debt in the fourth quarter was down to 408 million zlotys, which is only 0.69 of 2012 adjusted EBITDA. We've also completed last year the third tranche of buyback program, utilizing 47 million for repurchase of 2.5% of share capital. And today, in more details, we will be explaining to you our plan to propose annual distribution to shareholders with 128 million zlotys offered to buy back shares, targeting even more, 145 million in 2014. And we do see potential to grow that dividend or buyback allocation in the years to come. Another, as I said, shift we see in our business happens between market segments. Let's take a look at page four on those two big segments. So while our home revenue remains under pressure, business segment recorded a very strong fourth quarter results. And let's just spend some time on business, and then we will move into home. So revenue in the business segment was 251 million zlotys in the fourth quarter, up by 2% compared to the third quarter of 2012, and up 21% due to Dialog and Crowley acquisition. RGUs increased sequentially by 2% and 7% year over year. All operation business segments, sub-segments, and you will see this later, recorded growth in the fourth quarter. Adjusted EBITDA margin was almost 47% in the fourth quarter, and that higher margin is maintained with the introduction of Dialog and Crowley, really driven by a higher share of on-net customers, and but also synergies which we are delivering throughout last year and this year. Capital expenditure full year-wise was 105 million in that segment, so that led into 364 million zlotys of adjusted free cash flow for the full year. And we expect that business segment to be the growth engine for us in near term. In 2013, you will see some of the negative impacts of the MTR cuts, but going forward, that's the focus of growth for us. On the right-hand side, we talk about home. Here, revenue of 257 million in the fourth quarter was down by 3% compared to the previous quarter, but 19% on a year-on-year basis, again driven by the inclusion of Dialog customers. Here, some of the trends are obvious, like falling voice, but also some decline in broadband RGUs. But the good thing is, it was slower in the fourth quarter versus a prior one. That adjusted EBITDA in the fourth quarter was of a slightly lower margin, but it's again driven by the transformation we are making happen. So that was a higher gross margin, but on a lower sales. There was an increased advertising and also higher gross additions. What you already see, and you will see even more of that, that there is, has been also higher margin versus 2011 due to higher share of on-net customers, and again, as in business segments, realized synergies. The good thing is ARPU remained relatively stable in our product lines. Again, consistent with our strategy to focus on high-end customers rather than repricing its services. And this has been happening in the environment of very competitive price cuts in the third and the fourth quarter by our major competitors. So in a way, in summary, our sales focus going forward will be on on-net broadband and TV services. And we will be managing slowly down our wholesale services, really focusing on protection of that base rather than active or aggressive acquisition. So page five almost, in a way, summarizes what's happening between the business segment. And as you can see, while residential segment accounts for almost 52% of revenue, it's only representing 35% of EBITDA and 31% of operating free cash flow. So that's very important of when we will be analyzing and explaining to you our cash profile going forward with, as I said, high expectations and belief in the growth of the business segments. Page 6 shows our more detailed split into sub-segments, and you can see that lower margin in most segments reflects Q4 acceleration in commercial expenses. So I will not be getting into the details right now, just allowing for more time to go through financials later on in the presentation. Business segment we are happy to say that we are growing both customers and RGUs. You can see that number of RGUs per customer, so size of the customers is going up, as well as number of customers. On the bottom right part of the chart, we are showing some of the recent contracts, really for the illustrative purposes, as some of you may not be aware what type of the customers and what type of the services we are offering. Revenue and market share, we are targeting to grow, and that change in the trend into the positive direction is already visible in the fourth quarter, with our market share going slightly up and revenue improving. And this is all supported by our strong infrastructure in the B2B or business segment. Again, for the illustrative purposes, on the left hand side, bottom side of that, we are showing you our infrastructure measured by office buildings connected by our network, which in a big portion is connected on the fiber optic basis, but also on other on-net technologies. So more than 70% is of the on-net high margin type of the relationship with the business customers, and we are present across all cities, and that's where the businesses are obviously located. Let's flip to page 8 and take a look at the performance of services within the residential market. Broadband shows the that there is a challenge in a low-end market for us, but the good thing is ARPU remains strong. Our total share in fixed broadband keeps at 13.3%, which has been slightly down from prior quarters, but with the, as I said, improvement in the trend in the fourth quarter. An important KPI is that 46%, already 46% of our customers are served directly on Netia network, which again, that's part of that shift into the higher profitability services, even if it's counted one-to-one between off-net and on-net. Broadband ARPU was 57 zlotys compared to 56 in the previous quarter. Again, a visible sign of that, result of that shift. And 2013 focus of sales is to be on on-net broadband services. Voice on page 9. In voice, we managed to sequentially reduce customer losses in the fourth quarter and stabilize ARPU, again, despite its aggressive price cuts from competitors. Here we have a stable share in the market at 19.8%. 39% of the customers are connected on our own network, which is up compared to prior year, which again represents this improvement in profitability away from off-net into the on-net. And we are targeting very consciously higher ARPU, again, on-net customers. So as a result, blended voice ARPU is maintained in the fourth quarter at 46 zlotys. Page 10, and I want to take a little bit more time here as this is our future driver of RGU's revenue and profitability. which is television. And on television, you see that there is part of the progress in sales. But also, we are putting a lot of effort into fine-tuning of this service and making sure that it really stands out competitively against cable and satellite operators. You see that we have stabilized and had stable 42 zlotys ARPU in the fourth quarter. This is the third quarter of such results. And we do see improvement in net additions, really driven by the smooth streaming television, smooth streaming technology, which also is important to notice is available over a wider footprint than an initial IPTV solution. And it was introduced commercially in the third quarter of 2012, and I do have a lot of hopes with that approach going forward. Also, from the programming perspective, we are expanding. In end of last year, we've added premium plus packages from Canal Plus. We've added three new high-definition HBO channels. We've added new functionality of music on demand. And it's being continuously worked on, and that competency of television offering is building up in Netia very strongly and up to my expectations. And we expect that the product coverage and distribution improvements to be implemented in 2013 should allow for further acceleration of our TV sales in the quarters to come. Page 11, mobile subscribers base is stable, but it's not really our key focus area at this stage, as we believe that Wi-Fi based connectivity really better supports needs of our customers for wireless experience. And so you will see a lot of also news how that is developing for us going forward. So with that, let me hand over to Jonathan Istik, our CFO, to walk you through financials and also distribution policy, and I think we need to reserve quite a bit of time for those important topics. Jonathan?
Thank you very much, Mirek. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to take you through New Netia's first set of full annual results for 2012. Starting off on slide 12 with an overview of the financials, revenue came in at 2,121 million zloty, just a shade below the guidance of 2,125 million zloty. Versus as reported result for 2011, that was up by 31%. But obviously, we bought Dialog and Crowley in the last 2 weeks of December of 2011. So I'm also going to compare to pro forma results for 2011. Revenue came in at 2,185 million pro forma in 2011. So underlying revenue was down about 3% year on year, which, considering we're now getting close to 17 to 20% of value share in the total fixed line market, we think is a very creditable performance for the year as a whole. Looking at the fourth quarter only, revenue was 519.5 million zloty in the quarter, up 31.7% on the prior year of 426.7. It was down approximately 5% year on year versus the pro forma result. So the issues that Mirek's been going through that we've been facing on the residential side is reflected in the slight acceleration of revenue loss overall. The business performance has been very robust Q3 through to Q4, and that's doing a lot to offset those trends. Looking at adjusted EBITDA, we finished the year with 591.2 million zloty and a 27.9% adjusted EBITDA margin. That's up almost 45% on the reported result for 2011. More importantly, it's up on 546 million for the result of the prior year, and it includes 76 million zloty of synergies and margins on the low on the 5% lower revenue base. So a very, very good performance. It's also worth noting, I think, that adjusted EBIT, leaving out all the restructuring expenses, etc., which we'll go through in the following slides, was up from 99 million in 2011 to 109 million in 2012. So the new net here manages to cover the additional depreciation and amortization charges created by the acquisitions. As you know, you get additional acquisition intangibles that need to be depreciated as a result of any acquisition, and we still manage to grow EBIT. So that is something which we're pleased about. Just to recap on the net debt position, 408 million down from 459 million 3 months earlier. The amortized cost of the Dialogue debt is now down to 532 million. We paid back another 65 million zloty installment during the fourth quarter. We also continued to run our buyback program throughout the fourth quarter. Moving on to slide 13, which just gives the traditional overview of revenue, this time by service rather than by segment. This chart leaves out other revenue, non-telecommunication revenue, which was about 3 million zloty in Q4. Petrotel, our subsidiary up in Płock, in addition to telecommunication services, provides other types of networking services and integration to a rather large client up in that area, and closed a major contract during the fourth quarter supplying a lot of equipment. And that revenue isn't analyzed here, but contributed 3 million zloty overall to the result in the fourth quarter. Generally speaking, on data and voice, continued slight declines, but slower than we saw in Q3 and sequentially between Q2 and Q3. This is mainly because of very stable ARPUs, both on broadband and on voice, in the fourth quarter, which, given the amount of price discounting that competition had pushed into the market during the second half of 2012, is something that we're really pleased about, and it really shows how hard we're working commercially to retain customers, upsell services, try not to be leading the market prices down any further than they already are. Other revenue is the bright spot here, 27 million zloty, up 2 million quarter on quarter of non-wholesale related or interconnect related revenues. This is where the TV revenues are sitting for the time being in the other category, and that's the chief driver here in this line starting to grow. Slide 14 deals with capital investment and with operating free cash flow. The capital investment for the year came in below guidance at 279 million zloty, inclusive of 22 million spent on various integration projects around Dialogue and Crowley. Without that, it came in at 257 million zloty for the whole of 2012. And that compares, I think, extremely well with the 320 million pro forma spend that Netia, Dialogue and Crowley incurred during the whole of 2011. That's 19.7% down on the pro forma comparative. Now, how did we manage to do that? We rationalised the approach that Dialogue used to take to NGA rollouts, where they've emphasised fibre rollout. We are more focused on the cheaper VDSL solutions. Obviously, a lot of procurement synergies have come through as a result of the enlargement of the group. Our LLU rollout was more or less finished at the end of 2011, so spending was down significantly as a result of that in the broadband area. And obviously also in IT, all the spending has been directed to the systems that are going to continue, and we've spent nearly no money on the legacy systems that are destined to be swapped out and as data is migrated onto the the systems that will continue. In 2013, we see room for further progress, and we're guiding for a reduction of underlying capex down to 225 million zloty. This is knock-on effects of synergy projects. Also, we need to spend less money on buying new CPE equipment going forward. Prices are falling, but also built into our business model is refurbishing CPE that comes back from customers that discontinue service. Those two factors together help considerably on the CPE plan cost for next year. On one final comment on that, the integration capex for next year is seen at approximately 30 million zloty, so up from 2012. And that's because we still have one major migration ahead of us, which is the Dialog billing and CRM system to be moved over to Netia towards the end of the year. Moving on to slide 15, the usual reconciliation between adjusted EBITDA and net result. Adjusted EBITDA, as I mentioned, came in at 591.2 million for 2012. The EBITDA itself at 461.5 million. The reasons for that, the two key ones, the 79.2 million impairment that I'll talk about on the next slide, but we flagged when we updated our guidance in Q4 that there was a likelihood that we would need to book an impairment. That makes an appearance here. So do integration costs and restructuring costs, totaling close to 49 million zloty, all related to realizing the synergies on the CDN integration. Depreciation and amortization up 56% year on year. That comes down to the reversal of impairment we did last year, plus Dialog and Crowley depreciation charges, and plus the depreciation on new assets created by the acquisition, trademarks, customer contract, intangibles, etc., etc. financial expenses obviously swung from income last year, where we had a large cash balance, to income expense of about just under 40 million zloty in 2012. This reflects the fact that, in effect, the Dialog and Crowley acquisitions were leveraged acquisitions. Where there was no equity component. Everything was paid for in cash. So that's understandable. And as I said, EBIT is up and EBITDA is up dramatically as a result. So this, we think, we continue to believe, has been a very positive acquisition for the Netia Group. Deferred taxes, unfortunately, we booked write-offs of deferred tax assets, which contributed to a 37 million zloty net tax charge for the fourth quarter and a 26.8 million charge for the year as a whole. This is also related to pushing through the effects of reduced assumptions in our long-term business plan, through the expected effects on our taxation charge going forward. A company or a group that's making less taxable income obviously also is able to recover less deferred tax assets. And so those write-offs also hit the fourth quarter result. So we finished the year with an 87.7 million zloty loss for the group as a whole. Slide 16, just to take you very quickly through the movement from the 157 of adjusted EBITDA we reported in Q3 through to the 145 reported in Q4. The major downward driver here was the revenue-related RGU loss, so the volume variance, if you like, on the residential segment. Pretty significant RGU losses in the second half of the year, so the knock-on effect from Q3 plus continued losses in Q4 contributed 8 million zloty of the decrease. The other item which was largely responsible, in fact, for the EBITDA miss versus the 600 million zloty guidance at the year end. We would have needed 150 million or so to meet the guidance. We came in at 145. The other item that drove that is the series of one-off expenses that we booked in December in closing the books. I would put this down really to a first-time through effect with the new organisation, a couple of issues like holiday pay accrual, some obsolete equipment that we hadn't identified early enough written off. We don't think those sort of things will happen year on year, but as this was first time through for the new organisation, we missed a couple of things in doing the guidance. Also worth noting is that advertising spending was up by 4 million during the fourth quarter versus the third quarter, and that was another contributor to the lower EBITDA. Slide 17 deals with the impairment charge. As I already mentioned, that was a hit of 79 million zloty for the year. Just as a recap, every year as we have goodwill on the balance sheet, we have to roll forward our business plan assumptions, calculate the free cash flow coming out of that business plan over 5 years plus a terminal value, and compare that to the long-term book value, to the book value of our long-term assets. So you see on the diagram here, long-term assets were at 2,742 going into the test, whereas the DCF is producing marginally less than that, 2.2663 million zloty. So hence the 79 million zloty write-off. Obviously, in terms of book value per share, this value is still considerably above where the share price is trading at the moment. Over the page, and an update on the integration project, the integration of Crowley and Dialogue. Project remains fully on track. More projects completed. The OPEX saving is now up to 76 million zloty for 2012 as a whole. Going forward, we're looking that that number may reach even 115 million zloty for the full 2013. As more and more projects contribute a full year's worth of savings. I think what's most interesting in the fourth quarter was the number of crucial projects that were completed that are necessary to build really truly one organisation. We built one organisation in terms of employees, but it's a much longer road to get to one organisation in terms of products and systems, and we made a lot of progress in the fourth quarter. You can see that about two-thirds of the way down the slide, key work streams completed. What we managed to do in the quarter, we managed to finish migrating and closing the Crowley billing system and CRM and moving everything onto the Netia system. We also managed to introduce exactly the same offer sold to new customers under the Netia brand, under the Netia contract, across the whole country, so including customers that will ultimately get connected to the former Dialogue access network. They will also be customers of Netia going forward. So this is, let's say, two-thirds of the way to getting towards removing the Dialogue brand. The brand will continue to exist for legacy customers until the billing system migration is completed, which will be towards the end of this year. And at that point, the integration project will be fully completed. Obviously, one of the ways to measure how effective we've been in building the single organization is looking at headcount, and you can see that laid out on slide 19. The headcount came in even better than we were expecting in the sense that we finished the year at 2013 active headcount. That was another decline of 130 during the fourth quarter. We were at 2,000. If you go back to the peak headcount
let's say, prior to any of the rumours around sales of assets in Dialogue and Crowley that may have resulted in some people leaving ahead of the acquisitions. If you go back all the way to June of 2011, the pro forma headcount was 2,802, and we're down 28% on that headcount versus the 5% revenue loss. That shows how much efficiency we've managed to increase already. Oh, and one final comment on this slide. We originally planned for 519 reductions, forced reductions in headcount that we agreed with the unions. The actual implementation came into 515, so we delivered what we promised in terms of reducing the organisation. The next slide is new, and it looks at the thesis behind the acquisition of Dialogue and Crowley from a couple of different perspectives. The first part of the slide may be familiar to you. We've highlighted this before, that once we split the customer bases of Dialogue and Crowley into the new the old Netia segment model, you can see that there's been remarkably little change in the revenue mix. So new Netia revenue-wise, customer-wise, still looks very much like the old Netia. Where things are very different, however, as Mirek mentioned earlier, is that we have, instead of 32.6% of high-margin on-net services, we're up to 42% of high-margin on-net services. So that gives us much more room for maneuver in this market where the ARPUs are under significant pressure. It gives us end-to-end control over our network, much better quality of service for the customer, and a much better opportunity to sell TV than the off-net services. So this has been, I think, a very important strategic shift for the organisation. Finally, we've also taken a look at the situation in terms of churn and new customer acquisition. It's often the case after a major acquisition that customers leave the target company. You can see here we've compared who was being billed in November of 2011, December of 2011, to the November result in 2012. And what this chart shows is that almost exactly the same proportion of revenue is coming from former Netia customers, former Dialogue customers, as it was a year earlier. So in other words, there's not been any discernible incremental churn going on in either Dialogue or in Crowley. From another perspective, and where we see a big opportunity going forward, in terms of new customers added, 75% of new customers added came on Netia sales platforms as opposed to the Dialogue and Crowley platforms, which means that we still have an opportunity following the restructuring to accelerate how we're doing Dialogue and Crowley on the sales side. So customer retention-wise, going very well. Sales side, we see an opportunity for 2013 to keep improving. So that's the comments concerning the results. In terms of looking forward and in terms of distribution, we're covering that over the next couple of slides. The guidance, as you're aware, was issued in late December 2012 for the point where we closed the budget for 2013. There are no changes whatsoever in terms of guidance either to 2013 or to the strategic financial goals being published today. Quick recap is that RGU's performance is expected to improve. We need to keep slowing down and then eventually growing broadband RGUs. TV, we need to keep accelerating and somewhat slow down the losses on voice if we're going to deliver the 2650 that we guide. So there's a lot of challenge built into this plan. On the revenue side, 1,925,000,000 and EBITDA of margin 27%, 525 million zloty. Because of the lower capex, adjusted operating free cash flow still a very robust 300 million zloty. And integration OPEX, because most of the projects are now finished, instead of 49 million in 2012, we're looking at just 10 million for 2013. Over the page, a quick EBITDA bridge of how we get to that 525 million zloty EBITDA. You can see very clearly that the major impacts are around ARPU, over 90 million on residential and over 90 million on the business segment. Between a third and a half of this is related to MTR reductions, and the reverse effect is felt in operating costs. So overall margins are not going down nearly as fast as revenue. You've also got here in the lower service costs reflected a lot of the synergies that we've been harvesting over the last 12 months. The full year effect of those synergies is about 50 million zloty more in synergy than we recorded for the whole of 2012. So as I said, 115 million for the year as a whole. There is in here as well success-based spending of an additional 26 million zloty for acquisition spending. To stabilize the RGUs, we need to speed up on gross additions. We've done a lot to reduce churn, but we need to do better on gross additions as well. We need money to do that, and that's the 26 million zloty of extra expenditure that you see on the chart. Slide 23, as you know, we've spent a lot of time thinking about how best to distribute cash to our shareholders, and it's a pleasure for me to report today that we have now worked out a distribution policy that we're going to recommend to our supervisory board and to ultimately to the shareholders. For 2013, we are planning to use the remaining flexibility we have in the 2011 resolution for share buybacks. You will recall that the original resolution allows us 350 million zloty of buybacks up until June of 2013. There's space in that resolution still to buy back just under 130 million zloty of shares. 4.2% of equity, but there is a cap of 8 zloty per share included in that resolution. So basically, our intent is in the near future, subject to supervisory board approval, to make an offer to purchase shares, which will look in practice very similar to a tender offer in the way that it's managed. We'll go to our shareholders and offer to buy back just over 4% of their shareholdings for a price very near to or at 8 zloty, details still to be confirmed. And obviously we're anticipating that all shareholders would be willing to take that offer given where the share price is at the moment. So there should be no dilution effect whatsoever for the shareholders, and this in effect should work just like a dividend. Looking forward, assuming that we do manage to stabilise the residential business by stabilising the RGU performance, we will see it continue to fall, but not nearly at the pace that we had in 2012. With much better service or revenue coming off of television and lower churn, then we do see going forward for next year 145 million of free cash flow to be assigned for distributions as being a very comfortable target for us. And if we continue in that vein, then there is definitely room to continue to increase that amount year on year. Ideally, we'll be paying that out as dividends. We also see options to do more offers for shares as a form of buyback, or even redemption of shares should it be necessary, should we not have distributable reserves.
Cash flow is the least of our issues. It's the size of the distributable reserves, which is the key limiting factor on our distributions. Okay, so new distribution policy announced today should be formalised over the next few weeks. So with those comments, buyback information I'll skip past, as that's really just a reprise. And Mirek, conclusions.
Yep, thank you, John. As you see, we have a lot of information to share, so taking time, I'll just summarize quickly to allow you to ask questions. If I started, New Netia delivered record results with revenue up 31%, adjusted EBITDA up 45%, and adjusted operating free cash flow up 103% versus 2011. It's very satisfactory. It's been a lot of work behind it, well-targeted, acquisitions and well-executed integration behind that. But it was also a year of RGU loss in fixed broadband and fixed voice during 2012 in a very strong competitive environment with the pressure on the residential segment, mostly on pricing. And that led us to a conclusion that we should shift our focus away from this regulated low-margin access and focus on development of TV services, increase of on-network sales, and to focus on improvement of effectiveness of New Netia sales organization as key drivers of improvement within this residential segment financial performance throughout 2013 and beyond. But also, there is a very strong cash-generative business segment which we put extra effort against growth to grow that segment as also a way to mitigate residential segment challenges. And it also leverages better our own network asset base. Integration project is about to be completed with active headcount being almost 30% down from its peak, and also a high above expectations synergies of 76 million in the pocket. Today we confirm our guidance as provided to you in December of going for 525 million EBITDA. Adjusted EBITDA in 2013 and 300 million free cash flow. John just explained our distribution policy, our intention to propose 128 million zlotys to be paid back in the form of a shares a buyback in 2013, and a comfort of proposing a 40 groszy per share, an equivalent of 145 million zlotys in 2014. And as I said earlier, we believe even with the potential to gradually increase above that 40 groszy per share level. Ladies and gentlemen, 2012 was a year of many changes for us, and I'm positive we set for Netia the new attractive course for 2013 and beyond, with all those strategic shifts we've been undergoing throughout last year and partially this year. Now it's time to, for you to ask questions. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask your question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. Our first question comes from the line of Igor Semenov from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you very much. Just wanted to spend a bit of time on the competitive environment and also then to understand your revenue guidance in a bit more detail. So first of all, on the broadband subscriber base, I mean, can you tell me who is winning market share? I mean, you have been losing consistently this year, which is quite disappointing, and but I'm not quite, I mean, I see UPC is gaining share, I guess, multimedia, but I mean, these are all cable guys, so in this regard, as you said, you will focus on cheaper access solutions like VDSL, don't you think you're putting yourself in a competitive disadvantage relative to competition? And don't you think that maybe you should focus on higher speed and more future-proof technologies? And in general, how do you expect to break the negative trends on the subscriber side on your own network? I mean, and the second question on the revenue guidance, can you help me understand a bit more in terms of your main segments? So your total revenue guidance is 9% decline. Where do you see the more or stronger or weaker trends in voice and data, in wholesale or other, in this broad categories? If you just could help us understand the guidance a bit more. Thank you.
Igor, thank you for your questions. I'll start from the broadband one and allow John to talk about the revenue segments shift. Broadband, we are in this transition, as you've noticed, away from the regulated access into on the net, which overall helps to improve our profitability of the services, but at the same time allows us to offer a true, fully controlled triple play offer, which to me is to be, or it is already, a competitive in many respects to cable, because it's not that much about technology, it's more about an offering. To give you an example, there are new codecs in place, which I think commercial will be deployed next year, which allow in 2014, which allow for HD channels to be compressed down to 2 megabit per second type of a speed versus 8 megabit per second now, and in the past it was closer to 10, even 12. So in a way, the technology of ADSL, but we are gradually upgrading now our network also to VDSL, and you should also remember when we say our network, we talk a lot about Ethernet and some PON networks, are technologically capable of providing attractive triple play services, and we focus a lot on making sure that that television component is a breakthrough solution, with PVRs being ahead of cable, with interactivity being ahead of cable, and we are not having this legacy of heavy, costly set-top boxes of cable operators. So I'm positive that we will gradually be more and more competitive, especially on our network, with those activities. And for us, television is an incremental revenue and incremental profit, but it also has an impact, it will have impact on maintaining or anti-churn activities on our broadband base. But as we are in this transition period, and you look at the total market share shift, as we are focused on the protection of the customer base on off-net, we are gradually losing on that front, picking up on an on-net, but it's not to the extent, it's not offsetting that loss on off-net to the extent which would allow us to protect the overall market share. Not yet, not at this stage yet. And that market share mostly goes, as you've rightly noticed, to cable operators as a result.
But I don't even see you gaining on on your own network. I mean, on copper you're gaining a little bit, but I guess all these Ethernet companies that you acquired, they're losing customers.
Yes, we will be, as this requires a triple play offer, and that triple play offer starts kicking in throughout 2012 gradually, as well as upgrade of that network was kicking in only gradually. So this year we do have an assumption and a strong positive belief we will start growing on net while continue to lose on off net.
Okay.
Igor, your second question regarding the revenue, which is down roughly 200 million in the guidance for 2013. If you go to the slide 22, which shows the bridge from 2012 to 2013 EBITDA, you see clearly here 92 million of ARPU-related revenue loss in the residential segment, and another 90 million in business. Now, of this amount, and especially in business, the majority is expected knock-on effects from the MTR reductions. A big chunk of voice revenue is driven by calls to mobile. That's historically been the case. Whenever the MTR cuts come in, and they came in to 8 groschi on the 1st of January and will hopefully go down to 4 groschi in mid-year, sophisticated customers, large corporate customers, immediately know that they have an opportunity to get another discount. And so we're factoring some pretty significant revenue deflation on the corporate side, but not margin deflation because the cost has gone down simultaneously. On the residential side, it's more a conservative set of assumptions to give us a robust position vis-a-vis where the competition have taken market prices recently. Our fourth quarter looked very promising. Our ARPU didn't actually fall, but I doubt that's going to be sustainable for the year as a whole, hence the 90 million. On the other hand, only 40 million attributed to RGU losses on residential. That reflects what Mirek was just commenting about, speeding up on net, not losing at such a rapid rate on the off-net side, and therefore overall having less of a volume-driven loss of revenue. On the corporate side, you can see RGUs are planned to grow, and therefore there's a 30 million positive volume effect.
Okay, so in summary, the bulk of it is voice wholesale, and hopefully data will be not falling as much.
Yeah, data definitely will not be falling nearly as much.
Can it grow, do you think?
Well, our ARPUs have been reasonably stable. I mean, TP packs their TV revenues in with their broadband ARPU, whereas our ARPUs have been rising whilst we report the TV ARPU separately. We don't think it's sustainable given the market situation, but because we're not trying to grow so much off-net, we can afford to be quite defensive on defending bill size when we're trying to retain customers. So that's probably having a positive impact on our ARPU performance at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Tibor Bokler from Wood & Co. Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi. Staying on the same slide, if we could talk a little bit about numbers with regards to synergies still kicking in 2013 and a little bit of sensitivity of the future EBITDAs once these synergies are completely away, where how much the EBITDA should go down as a result.
I'm not sure if I totally caught the thrust of the question, Tibor, but the year-on-year, as I mentioned, we're moving from 76 to an estimated 115 million of synergy effect because projects completed in 2012 will have a full year impact in 2013. There's a few more projects being concluded, but not too many. Most of the project is finished. Those effects are spread around mostly the cost side across the whole chart, so it's difficult to identify individual items. In terms of stabilization going into 2014,
that stabilization would come from a much lower rate of ARPU decline year on year, and us executing on this RGU performance improvement, particularly in the residential market, and getting more of these customers on net where the margins are two or three times higher per customer than when we go off net. So that's really what's necessary to stabilize the situation going into next year.
Yeah, I was more thinking about in 2013 we are in a situation where the revenues are falling and this is being offset by some of the cost cuts coming from the synergies. In 2014 these cost cuts will not be there, and assuming that the revenues will still be falling, EBITDA will be lower. I'm just trying to figure out how much lower are we talking about, tens of millions?
No, I mean, how much lower depends on how much you're assuming the revenue will drop, because from our perspective, if we manage to slow, last year was really the revenue drops were driven by lower RGUs, whereas ARPUs have been pretty stable. Mm-hmm. This year we're looking for a better RGU performance and a knock-on effect from price cuts that happened last year that you still don't really yet see in the ARPUs, right, plus this MTR effect. Next year, if we've executed in terms of volume, and if there isn't another, and this is an if, of course, if there isn't another massive round of price cutting in the market, then we see that there's room for a much more stable performance 2014 to 2013. If you continue to believe that revenues would fall at this rate, then obviously EBITDA would also be falling.
Also, this guidance has been issued in December, and since then we had a TPSA conference call, and they sort of hinted that the price wars continue in 2013. So I assume that the 2013 price wars, if you may, are not really reflected in your guidance, even though you said that you have a little bit conservative on the residential segment side. Can you comment on this?
Well, I you know, if I recall, it was I thought it was more the price competition on mobile they were referring to. Most of the price cuts our competitor was complaining about on the residential have happened was actually driven by them in last year, and I think what they were flagging is that there's not much room, if at all, for any further price decreases, and we've reflected those price cuts and that severe competitive environment in our forecast for this year. And that's why, you know, once we became aware of what impact it would have versus your expectations versus you know, what market was thinking, we've provided it right away to the market, not waiting for the publication of the full year results with the guidance, right? So it is reflected in our 2013 numbers.
Mm-hmm. And just very quick follow up: how long are your relationship with your residential and business clients? Do you take contracts for 2 years, and therefore, if we see a price falling on the market, some of the clients, even though they would like to change the contract, they can do so only later.
On average, it's 2 years.
So we will see some impact potentially in 2014 as well if we had price cuts in 2012, correct?
As a result of repricing, yes. Mm-hmm. On the ARPU front, but you know, bear in mind that we are also having this offsetting activity of increasing number of RGUs per client, right? So it doesn't have to impact negatively if we execute with the new RGUs. So that's on the ARPU front, and then on the margin front, there is this shift also away from off-net into on-net happening in the same time.
There is also a strong tendency now for customers to upgrade broadband speeds, mm-hmm. which has also underpinned a pretty stable ARPU on the broadband side, even though if you look at the unit, if you look at the pricing for, say, a 2 megabit or a 10 megabit link, they are falling very rapidly. Customers are trading up to the 10 megabit link, and as a result, the ARPU is pretty stable.
Okay, thank you very much for all the answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a final reminder, if you would like to ask your question, please press star 1 now. And we have a question from the line of Sarah Sudeja from Erste Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I have a question regarding the wholesale rate that was frozen until the end of 2012 between the TPSA and alternative operators, including Napier. Where are we now in terms of these rates, LLU, BSA, wholesale line rental? Is the tendency is going up or stabilized? So that's question number one. The other question was, you were saying a lot about migration from on, from off-net to on-net, but I'm missing what kind of target you're actually aiming, how much on-net, maybe in terms of subscribers or in terms of revenue from this segment, so that we know what are the possibilities in terms of EBITDA improvement in your company.
Yes, you see, we are not really disclosing that level of details, and it's partially commercially driven, so I can't answer that question. On the regulated rates, they remain to be flat post-2012, and we are not seeing concrete actions or movements from the regulator to change it, neither up or down. You may hear discussions at the European level about the rates going out, but those are, at this stage, quite political discussions on how to fund the need for the investment in the thesis on next-generation networks. But obviously those thesis are also, to an extent, falling apart as the new EU budget has been adopted and a lot of money has been cut back from the direct investment in that. So the whole concept is not really operationalized. The only factual thing is the rates which are frozen continue to be the same into 2013.
Sorry, may I ask two more questions? We also read recently about TPSA also being aggressive in the business segment where you want to actually retain your customers in the broadband especially. Can you comment on that? I mean, so is this expected in your guidance already, or is this a new price war? The second question would be, what kind of acquisition projects are actually now being considered by Netia?
Okay, so on B2B, I see no changes. TP was always aggressive, and they have some natural advantages in certain areas, like a very vast network. So there are areas, and there have always been areas, which is hard for us to compete. But we haven't been really excessively active in this area over the past years, as our focus was primarily on residential. So if anyone, it's us really taking a very conscious focus and moving to B2B with a number of specific actions on people front, offer front, pricing front into B2B. So I'm positive we can gain new customers and as a result the revenue and market share. You got to also take into account that a number of B2B competitors like Crowley or Dialog are now part of Netia. From offering perspective, but also network and technology solutions which those two companies were providing. So our strength in this area is significantly higher, and we can compete for the market share. And the starting point is really low, right? While TP, I think, can only lose despite all the efforts. On M&A front, I'd rather say going into 2013, which is good for us, we can expect certain quietness and stabilization as TK Telecom process is completed in an unsuccessful way from the seller perspective, and I don't think it will reopen early to be counted into 2013 activities, and I don't see any other major M&A topics on the horizon. That is part of the comfort standing behind our decisiveness in proposing dividend or buyback in that respect. And so it's consistent with what we said years ago, that if we have clarity on M&A, major M&A activities, which we do have now in our judgment, then we would propose a longer-term buyback. And also on the small acquisitions of Ethernet networks, we are not assuming acquisitions this year. So our focus is on improvement of the efficiency, a number of those transformational moves off away from off-net into on-net, B2B focus, and major improvement of our television offering.
Yes, follow-up question. So this dividend policy, the one that you just recently announced, it will not be affected by future acquisition projects, or it will be reviewed if you conduct any acquisition?
Well, I think obviously we'd need to have a look at the situation depending on the size of the acquisition, but the way that we've crafted the policy and given where our leverage is today and the free cash flow we're generating, we could afford a material acquisition without touching this distribution policy in our judgment. So unless we do something extremely ambitious, it should be robust in terms of money assigned for shareholders.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Igor Simonov from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. Hi, thanks for the follow-up. Yeah, I just wanted to touch again on Vera's question on the focus on net versus off net. I understand, and you're not committing to any numbers this year, and it's perfectly understandable. But do you have any kind of longer term targets? Maybe 3 to 5 year targets. I mean, where do you want to be? Like right now, more than 50% of your base is regulated. Do you have like 60-40, 70-30, I don't know, 80-20 sort of assumptions in mind? And a couple of further follow-ups on the M&A. Do you think the fact that this whole process is stalled, is it a result of the value, let's say, repricing? I mean, TPSA stock price halved in, 4 months. Your own stock price is down 30%. So the sellers are not willing to sell at these price levels, or there are other reasons behind this stop in this consolidation processes? And final, just technical, on your leverage target of 1x, you're talking about net debt to EBITDA, or is it total debt to EBITDA, if you could just clarify. Thank you.
Igor, let me take that last one first while it's still top of the mind. It would be the net debt to EBITDA.
Thanks.
Which obviously right now we're very comfortably below, and we should continue to be so. As we said, we're not going to provide specific guidance on how much on-net we think we can do, but I would urge you to look at it from this perspective. Across the legacy copper, increasingly NGA networks plus Ethernet, we have approximately 2 million homes passed, and yet we only have, as you can see on chart 8, just over 380,000 active broadband customers. We've got a lot more voice customers floating around, but purely in terms of broadband service, it's only 380,000. So, under 20% penetration, which means that there is room with a successful triple play product to compete with the cable operators with whom there is a big overlap on these networks, and even to creep up in terms of penetration. I mean, the real definition of success would be that we start to see penetration improvement in a year or two. And then that will come with relatively little capex, because we're not significantly expanding footprint. We only do the projects when new buildings, new blocks of flats
within our footprint area get built. We cable those up at relatively little cost. But other than that, we're not extending footprint. So there's a lot of potential on the network that's already there.
Thank you. We have no further questions coming through, so I'll hand the call back over to Mr. Godlewski to conclude. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for all your questions and for being with us on 2012 results. As always, we'll have subsequent face-to-face meetings, which we are looking to. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for attending today's conference. You may now replace your handsets.